The text for our sermon this morning is from the gospel reading from Luke chapter 16 that we just heard. And we hear again the last verse that Abraham says to the rich man, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We remember today that Jesus, he was rich, but he became Lazarus. That Jesus gave up everything. He only had God to rely on. Jesus didn't trust in riches or the comforts of this life, but he did this. He gave his life. He gave everything for you to be rich. Rich in mercy and God's forgiveness. Who would you want to trade places with in our story today? Lazarus or the rich man? If you couldn't really come up with a quick answer, well, that's good. You're being somewhat honest with yourself. Would you rather be comfortable in this life to be rich, but end up in hell? Or Lazarus? One who suffers greatly in this life, but because of faith and Jesus Christ, in the end, you end up in heaven with all the riches that God has in store for you. The truth of the matter is, none of us would trade places with Lazarus if we had our choice. Our thoughts and where we place our hope and where we spend our time thinking and worrying, our thoughts and dreams, they betray us. We spend more time on what if I had this, what if I had that, rather than pondering the riches in God's Word and the glory of repentance and forgiveness. Who would choose to be Lazarus? A poor beggar who needed to be taken care of. We're even told he desired to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Lazarus couldn't even get his own food. He had to be taken care of. How embarrassing. Oh, but the rich man. The rich man, he's more our speed. Who would not want to trade places with him? And we can probably identify with him a little more easily. The rich man, it says he feasted sumptuously every day. Every day he ate a feast. Every day he was clothed in the finest clothes. He was not a beggar. He had everything he wanted. He was self-sufficient, a self-made man. He had no need, and he had no reason to call out to God, so he didn't. The contrast that Jesus uses today is something I think we can all understand. We've all seen a beggar on the side of the road or under an overpass. Every time you see a person in the streets, every time you see a person begging, it should remind you of this story. Not just in the sense that you should help people less fortunate than you, but in this parable, we're given a glimpse of the kingdom of God. It is only beggars before God that are saved. The last are the first, and the first are the last. Everything is not how it seems to your eyes. Take note of a couple things in regard to the rich man. The rich man has no name. Perhaps this is intentional by Jesus. The rich man is unknown, and he will always be that way. His name is erased from history. He is only known by his riches, which have also disappeared from history. He is nothing. He has left no legacy. Not even his name is remembered. Lazarus, on the other hand, he was certainly seen as an unfortunate set of life circumstances. Maybe you know someone like him. Life just never seems to go his way. Always in financial trouble, or even worse, they can't stay out of the hospital. It's not one thing, it's another. Perhaps they can't stay out of jail. They are a pathetic example of someone who always has to be helped. They can't pay their obligations. They can't bail themselves out. They can't heal their own illnesses. They are hopeless. And yet today, Jesus teaches us that their lives teach us a reality that we often don't see with our own eyes. The saved people of God forsake their own righteousness, and they are beggars before God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This parable should teach us that we are all Lazarus. We just don't believe it. It isn't about how rich you are, nor is it about how poor you are. Because there's always someone who has more money than you. There's always someone worse off than you. In this parable, we are taught the glory that it is to be found as a beggar before God. To hunger and thirst for righteousness because we have nothing of our own. In this story, we are to ask ourselves, who or what is our God? Because Lazarus wasn't saved because he was poor. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. We are to remember that we are beggars before God, and it is He alone who we should put our trust. Everything that you have has been given to you by God. Your health, your wealth, your family, your friends. You may look back and think that you built it all, but did you hear the Old Testament lesson? For those who think they've built it and think they can sit back and relax on their victories, it'll be taken away from you. We are all beggars before God. We can't bail ourselves out of our sins, can we? Can you fix the predicament that your anger gets you into? Can you bargain with God to make a deal to offset your rich sins of anger, despair, or even the quick glances of adultery? Not to mention the things we think of in our minds. Or perhaps you spend your time dreaming of a life where you don't have to serve anyone, but everyone bows down to you. Can you wish your way to better health? Can you build a business strategy or an investment portfolio that God would look at and say, "Wow, I should really bless this person"? Well, then you'll be comfortable. You'll have no need to call out to God. You will be the rich man. And there are some people who believe this to be true. This is part of the immediate context that Jesus is speaking of the story to the Jews, the Pharisees, and scribes who think that wealth and riches in this world is a sign of approval before God. It's popular today also. We call them prosperity preachers. And it's always easy to spot this in the television preachers, much easier than it is to look in our own heart. But these prosperity preachers, they make the mistake of thinking that they will be accepted before God. Because, well, look how successful they are. Oftentimes it's along the lines of, hey, let's use biblical principles for a successful business. Or, God is just waiting for you to get your life in order, and then He's going to bless you. You just aren't praying right. You're not investing right. You aren't setting your goals high enough. You need to get out of the boat, they say. and then God will bless you. Get God into your business plan. He's just waiting to bless you. This is exactly what Jesus is attacking. The rich man had all the appearances of being blessed by God, but he was quickly on his way to hell. His rich life became the snare that he walked into and never walked out of. He preferred to ignore God's word. You see that at the end of the story, Abraham gives us the clue. He has Moses and the prophets. This rich man, he was no beggar. He did not go to the fount of eternal life of God's word, but he went to his table. He went to his bank. He went to his job. He was no beggar. He preferred to ignore God's word. Jesus says, no. God blesses you. Everything you have is because of His mercy. Even look how He blesses the unbelievers, those who hate Him. You are living in darkness if you believe you think your riches mean you're in good standing with God. You are outside the Christian faith if you think you are no beggar. You are headed for a life of sorrow if you find comfort in the things of this life above God's forgiveness. If you read stock market reports, portfolios, real estate predictions more than God's word, you're headed in the wrong direction. You need to heed the rich man's warning. Can you save enough to buy off death when it comes? Who would trade places with you? And this is the turning point of the parable for us. Because this is the point of the parable. Who is your God? Because Jesus was the rich man. He had no need. He was clothed in power and riches. Yet for our sake, He becomes poor. Jesus traded places with you. He became needy before God. Jesus became one who had nothing except His Heavenly Father to trust. And He did that. Jesus became Lazarus for your sake. Because we by nature, well, we by nature don't want to be beggars. But Jesus became one of us. Jesus loved and trusted in God above all things for us who trust in everything else above God, but not for you to continue in that life. Jesus traded places with us, yet even more so, Jesus, even more than what Lazarus faced, Jesus did, for Lazarus was not forsaken by the Father. But on the cross, Jesus was. Jesus became rich with our sins in this life. He left His place of honor and He was cast out of the gates of heaven and He stood outside the gates of God, of His Father, and He received death. He left the place of honor. He's found at the gate of humanity. And what did we do with Him? We didn't even offer Him clothes to cover Him. We crucified Him naked. We even laughed at Him. He trusts God. Let Him rescue Him. Who would choose to be Lazarus, a beggar before God, who only has God to trust? Jesus. That's what He's trying to tell all those around Him who would listen. And God rescues him. Who would choose to trade places with you? Who would choose to trade places with the worst of you? Jesus. And He saves you. Jesus takes the position of the poorest before God, the place where we should be because we're so rich in sin. But Jesus trades places with you and gives you a place of honor before God. And he hasn't left you here to sort of figure it out. He leaves us his word. That's the one thing the rich man wants his brothers. That's the one thing that Abraham wants the rich man's brothers and family to hear, to value. That which is worth more than any of the riches in this world. And we think the Word of God is something so casual. Learn from the dead what is most valuable. Hearing God's Word. The dead man says, let them hear so that they would repent. We rich men and women would never choose to trade places with Lazarus. So Lazarus comes to us. He takes our place. Lazarus means God has helped. God has helped you. He's given us so much. He's baptized us into His name. Lazarus is remembered by His name, and so are you. Whether you're rich or poor, God gives faith indiscriminately. Jesus has come and He's helped us beggars. He's clothed you in His righteousness. He feeds us more than just food that goes in our mouth and out our bodies. He feeds us with His very body and blood, an eternal food that has eternal blessings given to it when we receive it in faith. With a repentant heart, when we dine on Him, a feast, when we are clothed every day in His Word and the promises of the Gospel, and every day we repent and we find comfort in Jesus. In this life, the comfort that is riches, that's the greatest trap for us. Whether it be in a time of plenty or a time of scarcity, we are always to remember everything you have is given to you from God. No matter how wealthy or poor, we are all beggars. This is true. So when you do see a beggar in this life, when you do see an opportunity to show the generosity of God, don't be afraid. Because remember, your God, Jesus, was rich, but He became Lazarus, relying only on God, not trusting in the riches or comforts of this life, so that you and I would be comforted for eternity. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.